D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful Friday. Willie Donick is in Winnipeg, where the Predators will take on, of course, the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow night. A rough one. Rough for the Predators last night. A 3-2 overtime loss to the Montreal Canadiens. We will get into that later in the program. How is everybody doing today, though?
Hey, Willie, are you Winnipeg?
I am in the peg.
That would have worked better had the Predators won last night, but they didn't.
I know. They still got a point. You can't take it as a cup half full.
Should have gotten two.
Cup half full here. That 1 point may be the difference at the end.
Okay. Boom. We'll talk about that in April.
Exactly. Let's talk about that later. So how is it up in Winnipeg?
Well, it's rainy. It's kind of dank here. This is
the dank.
Dank. Oh, wow. Where's the bell? I haven't heard Willie say that word.
I don't think dank is worthy of a bell.
But it's not used. No one used dank. No one.
We got great weather.
Who has used for different reasons? Who has used? Okay.
Okay, hold on. We'll take a poll here. The definition of dank: disagreeably damp, musty, and typically cold.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
There we go. Bam.
Okay, good job, Willie. Yeah.
Thank you, Willie.
And compared to Montreal and Ottawa and Toronto, where we had just gorgeous weather, it's a little bit of a downer, but it's a day to regroup. And for 19 minutes and 40 seconds, I thought the Predators played the formula that hopefully will be successful and put them in positions to win. But it's just too bad what happened at the end. Just one of those games where miraculous things happened at the end. And we'll go over it a little bit later. But a point is better than 0 points. 2-1-2 after five games is light years better than 0-5 to start last year. So there's some good to fade through, but tomorrow a very tough contest to round out the road trip. And, guys, I am sporting, during the dank weather, I'm coming out with the bright satin jacket from the Medicine Hat / St. Catharines Blue Jays.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day, since I'm up in Canada. So if you're watching on our YouTube chat, you are going to see the Blue Jay colors flowing.
Look at that.
Here. But
like
Willie.
Old school.
I like it.
You know what I always say? You could have had the jersey and the pants.
I know.
Gosh.
I know.
But you was betting on yourself. I like that.
I was betting on myself. We'll tell that story another day. But the Blue Jays play game five. They're back in the series. They play game five at 5:00, and the Dodgers will try to close out the Milwaukee Brewers later tonight.
We look ahead to Sunday for the Tennessee Titans first. The injury report is out. Mm-hmm. No Calvin Ridley on Sunday for the Tennessee Titans. Out with a hamstring injury. Arden Key also out with a quad injury. Blake Hance and Bryce Oliver will also be out for the Tennessee Titans. Marcus Harris, Draymond Jones, and Tavondre Sweat all listed as questionable. On the other side of the ball, Stephon Diggs questionable with a chest injury. Harold Landry questionable with an ankle injury in his return to Tennessee. But that's not the return to Tennessee everybody is talking about. It's about Mike Vrabel. And we haven't talked much about Mike Vrabel this week. Some other stuff happened with the Tennessee Titans that needed our attention. So we probably would have spent most of the week talking about Mike Vrabel had the Titans not fired Brian Callahan. But it's Friday. We've talked about Brian Callahan. That chapter is behind us. Now we look ahead to Sunday with Mike Vrabel. And I have been fascinated by how this game has been covered around the NFL. Let's just start here. We know that Mike Vrabel had plenty of success as head coach of the Tennessee Titans. 54-45 over six seasons at the helm of the Titans. He took the Titans to the playoffs three times. He won the division twice. He was once the number one seed in the AFC playoffs and won coach of the year. We know all of those things. And since Mike Vrabel left Tennessee, not by his choice. Of course, he was fired by the Tennessee Titans. The Titans and the New England Patriots are on divergent paths. The Patriots arrive here 4-2. If I'm not mistaken, they've won three consecutive games, including an impressive win on the road at Buffalo a couple of weeks ago. The Patriots are coming off of a win at New Orleans, another bad team. And a lot of people imagine Mike Vrabel's going to come down here and whip that butt. But this is what fascinates me, guys, about the narrative around this game. Let me give you a headline from the Boston Globe. Of course, the Boston Globe, the paper of record in Boston, Massachusetts. Here was a headline earlier this week from the Boston Globe. Quote, Mike Vrabel should be grateful he got fired by the Titans, now the NFL's biggest train wreck. That was a headline in the Boston Globe. I don't mean to pick on my friend Gentry Estes of the Tennessean. He wrote a column earlier this week with the headline, Mike Vrabel isn't a Tennessee Titans villain. He'll be one of their biggest regrets. I feel like, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong here, I feel like people are glossing over the bad with Mike Vrabel. Don't people remember the fact that Mike Vrabel lost 18 of his final 24 games as head coach of the Tennessee Titans? People seem to forget that. And all of these articles I've read about, man, Titans really screwed up firing Mike Vrabel. People forget. It didn't go well down the stretch. I don't remember how I felt when the Titans fired Mike Vrabel. I want you guys to tell me how you felt, because I don't remember how you guys felt either. But I feel like there was a lot of, it was time for the Tennessee Titans to fire Mike Vrabel. He had worn out his welcome. Things apparently weren't going well behind the scenes, and the team was losing a lot. So, Willie, this is what fascinates me most about the lead up to this game. So many stories about how, I can't believe the Titans fired Mike Vrabel. The Patriots, what a coup bringing home Mike Vrabel. Look at how well the Patriots are playing right now. The Tennessee Titans sure screwed up. They're the biggest train wreck in the NFL. But I feel like, without dismissing the good that Vrabel did here, I feel like people are just glossing over the bad.
Maybe. I think to fit the narrative, I do agree on one line that's in there. And that is, the Titans, in retrospect for sure, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But I think in the moment, I think you could look back, if you're Mike Vrabel, and say, you know what, this might be the best thing. So the quote, they did him a favor, I think there's something to that. Because here is my take on the big picture here. I don't care who the coach was. You pick whoever you thought is the best coach, period. If you think it's Mike Vrabel, great. If you think it's Brian Callahan, you probably don't. Pick whoever. Chuck Knoll, Tom Landry, Bill Walsh, magically Vince Lombardi, whoever it might be. This team was going to start to lose. The direction it was going when they fired Vrabel just continued on because of the roster. I hope I'm not boring people by bringing that back up, but it's pretty simple. When you go for 4 years and you don't draft any good players, and only about two of them are even on the roster right now, you're going to lose. I don't care who the coach is. So, Adam, I think you're partially right that we are sort of glossing over that they were struggling when Mike Vrabel left, because they were starting to see the warts of the roster that had been placed with the bad drafts of 2020 through 2022.
It's a, you know, it's just a comparison. That's what the, you know, the fan base will always do, because it's, you know, what my team is doing now compared to what his team is doing now, regardless of the situation, because you're not looking at the roster as a whole. You're not looking up, you're not looking at the makeup of the team, the makeup of the organization. Maybe, just maybe, he's in a better place to thrive than he was or would have been further here in Nashville, because what it seemed to be is was a clash between he and the owner. I think people look at it as, well, they fired John Robinson. That's why the team started going bad. No, it didn't. It was just a matter of time. I would say John got out. He was the lucky one. Because he didn't have
I think Mike Vrabel, when he got fired, could probably sit there and go, I'm going to get another shot.
John Robinson
obviously still hasn't gotten another shot. DJ.
But what he will, but whether it was, because whether if he got fired now or later or whatnot, it's hard for GMs to get a second shot anyway. Now, maybe the trend changes because John was so young when he got the job and, you know, whatnot. But I look at it as he was the lucky one because he doesn't have to endure what Vrabel endured. He didn't have to endure or take on what Rand Carthon did, and he definitely didn't have to take on what Brian Callahan went through. Yes, he drafted these guys that ultimately is the reason or one of the reasons that the Titans are in this position, but people are going to forget about that. Why? Because when he was GM, he was still winning. That's all they remember. When John was GM, he was, and if they had to fire Mike Vrabel right after that, and then Mike Vrabel would have been the hero because the fans would have said, y'all got rid of a winning GM and a winning coach, and look at y'all at the same time. But because it didn't happen, and Vrabel, you know, they somehow made amends for a moment, and she allowed him to stay on. Then you started to see the bad. So we couldn't separate, you know, Vrabel from the bad. We can't do it anymore. But what people are doing now is, because of the help of Brian Callahan and upper management, it's glossed over because of how bad he was. Now, knowing that if Vrabel would have stayed here, he would have incurred some of this mess too.
Yes,
it probably would have been better than three wins.
It may be better, but uh-huh. We all agree, if they didn't fire him when they did, he would clearly be fired by now. Somewhere along the line, he'd already
absolutely
be gone.
Yes.
That's why I'm saying he would have occurred some of that. It would have been on his back had he.
Yes.
And it's going to always be on it. But people are going to forget about it because of what Brian Callahan and his coaching staff haven't done. So it sort of puts a thin layer over the bad that Mike Vrabel did and people complained about when he got fired. Let's remember, it wasn't all, you know, roses and smell goods around here when Vrabel got fired. You know, yeah. People are like, about time, they needed it. He got too arrogant, this and that, and they wasn't winning.
Well, to Derek's point, I think a lot of Titans fans, maybe a lot is strong, but I'm going to go with it. I think a lot of Titans fans are looking at Mike Vrabel's tenure through rose-colored glasses because of how bad it's been since he left.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not discounting what Mike Vrabel did here. He helped lead the Titans back to prominence. But let's not pretend that by the time the Titans fired him, it was time for a change of scenery. Let me use an example from my past, and Willie can add his perspective as well. When the Predators fired Peter Laviolette in early January 2020, it was time for Peter Laviolette to go. The Predators had a ton of success under Peter Laviolette. They went to the playoffs every year. They won the President's Trophy. They went to the Stanley Cup Final. Peter Laviolette oversaw the most successful era of Nashville Predators hockey. But by the time he was fired, it was clear it was time for him to go. I was in that dressing room every day. I can tell you that it just wasn't working anymore. Even though Laviolette was incredibly successful here, just as Vrabel was. Vrabel had a lot of success. But after a while, the two of them are quite similar. They come in, they have big personalities, they're stubborn, and it works when you're winning, but when you start losing, those personalities start rubbing people the wrong way. So let's.
I would add this, Adam.
Go ahead.
I think because I think you're right on. There are similarities with both of those coaches, and I think it's just a cycle that you see in sports. Like I know we're gonna play a clip from Diana Russini that you sent us at it, where she says Mike Vrabel wanted to be in Nashville the rest of his life. Well, that's not really realistic in the NFL, right? The reality is in the NFL, the NHL, Major League Baseball, there's a cycle that even really good coaches normally fall in, right? There's some exceptions, but I would add that the window for the team to win was closing. It was closing on Laviolette. They weren't quite the same team that they had been 2 or 3 years before, right? They were still good, hanging on. And the same was true of the Titans. The window was shutting on Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, Kevin Byard, that whole nucleus of players that had a really nice run that Mike Vrabel helped. You know, I don't know if I would say he maximized it, but he gave them a chance for about 3 straight years. That window was closing. Do we agree? And we knew what was on the other side. There was no young talent coming up.
No, there wasn't. And that's why I said eventually, and as he did, he took on, you know, what was inevitable. You know, again, he probably wouldn't have, you know, Brian Callahan won, what, 3 games last year and won this year. He probably would have won 5, pushing 6. And people don't understand how, but maybe they do. Maybe they understand how bad the roster was. But they felt like somebody like Vrabel, with his command, you know, his demand for respect, and him being a leader, could, if anybody could change it, he could change it. Now they're thinking that. But when he got fired, everybody knows. Listen, it wasn't. There were some people calling and saying, yes, they regret it. They should have kept him. They should have got rid of somebody else, or Brinker. But there were a lot of people saying as well, it was time. They didn't say he was a bad coach. They just said it was time. People got tired of the stick and, you know, him, you know, acting as if he knows better than anybody. And they were not winning. So he did what he could. He moved on. Luckily for he and John Robinson that they didn't have to, you know, try to rebuild this team, which is going to take a lot.
Let's go to Dr. Locke on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dr. Locke, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Good, you?
Doing good.
Good. The way I envision it, that it went down, and I believe me, I'm an avid listener, long-time season ticket holder, and I follow football to the end. For $39.95, I'll even give you 70% winners on Saturday, but that's another story. The way I envision it is I kind of look at it like any given Sunday moment with Carmen. What was her name? The Paglioni character,
Cameron Diaz.
Female owner.
Yeah, Diaz.
Cameron Diaz. That's Amy Adams, right? She's the clueless Paglioni. Wishes she was good, but doesn't really know ass from her elbow. Then you got the alpha male Pacino, played by
Brinker?
Vrabel, right?
Vrabel?
So, right, we had no intent of letting him go. She meddled that whole season, telling him what to do, how to do. He's going to have to do this with his assistant coaches. And let me ask you, who do you want to play for? You want to play for a head coach who doesn't stand up for his assistants? Because that guy, if there's a good DC, OC in the world, they're going to want to play with him, because he's the one that'll say, look, man, stay the hell away from my team, right? He'll tell you, the Paglioni, the Amy Adams Strong, stay in your lane. Get out of my office. And I guarantee what happened that we're never going to know is he called her everything you can read about. Everything that you think about her, he told her. He said, look here, and you already know how it went. She said, oh, my God, nobody talks to me that way. You're fired. You see this Super Bowl ring? You see, I'm going to be a ring of honor in the New England Patriots. They're already courting to me. They're talking to me. I'll have a job before I walk out of that office, you dumb. You already know how it goes, right? And sure enough, he is the head coach, and the rooster is coming to roost. He is going to come back, and he's going to beat the living hell out of us. And the only reason Amy Adams, the only reason she fired that lame-ass coach, she fired him because she was trying to take the win away from Vrabel. Now, you didn't beat your replacement, Vrabel. You beat, what's this ass clown temporary coach?
Thank you for the call, Dr. Locke. We get it. We get the point. you don't like Amy Adams drunk. It sounds like Mike Vrabel to Dr. Locke bears no responsibility for what happened at the end of his tenure.
I have a question for the other side for you guys to answer. Mm-hmm. Do you think there will be a public exchange of pleasantries on the field between Amy Adams Strunk and Mike Vrabel on Sunday?
That's a good question. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike Vrabel returning to Nashville on Sunday with the surging New England Patriots. How should his time here be remembered? Are people looking at his tenure here through rose-colored glasses? 615-737-1025. Let me tell all of you that Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky inside the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football games. The Monday Night matchups, Buccaneers and Lions, and Texan Seahawks.
Coach, it's Titans week. What are your thoughts on going back there in Nashville?
Oh, I mean, this is going to be probably a lot to be said about this, and think would file under the category of, you know, is it interesting or important? And I would probably say this would be very interesting, but in the end, not very important to our preparation or what we need to continue to try to do to improve as a team. But having spent, you know, 6 years there or 7 years there, I mean, it's, you know, I think it'll be nice to see some people that I haven't seen in a few years that helped us win, players and staff. But, you know, we've got a huge job here to do as we prepare for them.
That was Mike Vrabel earlier this week talking about his return to Tennessee this weekend with the New England Patriots. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Our show is presented by BAX Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate at BAXHomeworks.com. Willie, before the break, you asked if Amy Adams Strunk and Mike Vrabel, Amy Adams Strunk and Mike Vrabel would have some sort of greeting before the game. And I'm picturing it now. You know how it is the first time you see your ex in public? After the breakup, you know they're there. They know you're there. You're making awkward eye contact from across the room. You're trying to go out of your way not to interact, but you know that you're going to have to at some point. And then eventually you cross paths and you're just like, hey, good to see you. How are you? How are things? How have you been? You look great.
Wait, how does it go again? What's the first word?
You better not say she looked great if you were somebody
hey.
Else.
Hey. Just like.
Hey. Hey.
More like David just did it. A little crack in the voice, you know, like, you know, how are things? You know, you look good. You know, I'm doing well. Things are good. Like that, like I imagine
yeah,
that's
talk.
What.
Yeah. Awkward small talk.
Precisely.
Okay, so here, would you consider this? Let me throw this at D-Mace, mm-hmm. Okay? D-Mace is a direct person. If you were Amy Adams Strunk, would you go right up to Mike Vrabel? You know where he likes to be before the game. You can find him and just say, hey, I want to tell you I'm happy for you. You know, you're not saying, hey, I regret this or I regret mm-hmm. that. You say, Mike, it's good to see you. I'm happy for you. Or say something funny like, I hope we beat you today, but I'm glad you have another opportunity. I wish you well. Something like that.
I think Amy is a little bit more calculated than her dad. I think her dad would have just been like, he would have threw up the double birds and been like, I ain't going nowhere near him. You know, he probably would have had a few choice words to say leading up to the game. But I think Amy understands like this is a key moment for her. Because she can either make it more about her or a little bit less about her, ultimately. Because if she duck and dodge him, she's going to make it more about her. And then everybody's going to say, look, she can't even face the facts with the mistakes that she made. She don't even want to talk to the man. The man's doing great. She fired him. And she ducking and dodging him when he's coming to her house. Like, I'm in your backyard and you don't want to come out. You're going to stay in the house. As if you got something to do. You ain't coming out. It's a backyard party. Where you at? So I believe she's more savvy than that. And she understands that, listen, I may not like you. I may have fired you for reasons that listen, I think that are valid. But you know what? I'm going to walk up to you and I'm going to shake your hand and I'm going to smile and say, good job. And I'm going to walk away. And you know what everybody else is going to say? They're going to say, okay, they're good. Or they're going to, wait, what did they talk about? Did she really say, hey, I'm sorry for firing you? But it will not be a negative, especially if she parts away smiling and Vrabel does as well.
Adam in Portland.
Would you do it?
Yeah, I would do it. Oh, definitely I would do it.
I think that would be a classy move where you're being professional and you're moving forward and you're looking at each other as two human beings, right? Mm-hmm. As ugly as it may have gotten on the way out.
Adam in Portland on our text line says, if that is the scenario we are going by, then Mike Vrabel will walk away going, damn, the Titans really let themselves go since we broke up.
Yeah, it could be.
Let's go to Steven on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Steven, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, I was just going to call because I feel like I can give a unique perspective as kind of a lifelong Indianapolis Colts fan.
Sure. But
living in Nashville, I know, right? But living in Nashville, listening to a ton of indie radio, listening to a ton of you guys all the way back to Tillman and Rex Road and everything, I think that the rose-colored glasses for Vrabel, I think it's almost been beaten over the head of the Titans. Because as someone who listens in Indiana, there's a ton of respect for Vrabel. I think it's looked at that he kind of made chicken salad out of chicken, you know, with everything that was going on. And I think with the national media constantly saying that it's been beaten over the Titans fans here. When people like you guys have been very open and very forward on the fact that, you know, there wasn't much there. He didn't do well in the end. He struggled to hire assistants when the OCs left, the very talented ones, the DCs, the players, as they left, he really kind of struggled with that. So he does deserve the blame. But I think kind of the overall thing is I think it's just been beaten over the head of the Titans fans.
Thank you for the call, Steven.
You get under the microscope. You get scrutinized in your own market more so than you are from afar. So from afar, I think Mike Vrabel maintained a very high level of credibility. Mm-hmm. A, because he was a decorated player that played for a lot of championship teams. That had a lot of street cred. And I think they looked at a team from afar when they were good of, hey, this Titans team is not super loaded. They don't have a superstar at quarterback. They have a nice team. They have one great, great player in Derrick Henry. And what was – you tell me, guys. I think the answer is obvious. What was the biggest break that Mike Vrabel got that made him successful?
Tannehill. Getting Tannehill.
Exactly. That was a brilliant trade that really, at the time, didn't get a lot of fanfare. It was more of an insurance policy for Mariota that turned out to be a huge turning point. Mike Vrabel may not be coaching in the NFL if that trade doesn't happen. If Mariota ages out or they don't commit to him and he is just the average, you know, career backup that he's become and they don't replace him with Ryan Tannehill where they caught give them full marks for visualizing it, but I'm not even sure they thought that they could get that much great production for about 3 years for Tannehill. Agreed?
No, you're right. They struck gold with the Ryan Tannehill trade because he was going to be that guy that helped, you know, secure that stability that they needed at that position. They needed someone just not to lose games more than he, you know, won them. And Ryan Tannehill was that. And he could pull out wins for you. But he also, he had his warts as well. And we saw him in plain view against Cincinnati and as the season went on. But that was his saving grace. And then Derrick Henry coming into his own. You know, those two for that offense was like a match made in heaven. And then you have him as a head coach just being the leader. He's not an X's and O's guy, especially not on offense. He was just the leader of a team that was ready to go. That's why I still look back and say, well, Mike Mularkey probably would have did the same thing with that roster
great
that Vrabel did.
Because it does get lost in the shuffle sometimes, I think probably outside of here, outside of Nashville, that Vrabel did inherit a playoff team. Mm-hmm. He didn't inherit a team that was on the bottom. Like, Robinson was already there. He had made the flip of the first pick, and the roster had come a long way by the time Vrabel took the reins.
One texter says, I gave up my season tickets and PSLs when Amy fired Vrabel. I believe it was Amy's ego clashing with Vrabel's and interfering with him that resulted in the Titans' downfall. She didn't see he was the one that knew what he was doing and then hired Carthon and Brinker. Now the Patriots have a winner and the Titans are losers.
Well, I mean, there's not much I can kind of push back on them
but
being winners
and losers.
This
is the point I was making at the beginning. Uh-huh. Without discounting what Mike Vrabel did for most of his time in Tennessee, again, three playoff appearances, two division titles, a number one seed in the AFC, coach of the year, finished nine games over 500 over six seasons. Mm-hmm. But things fell apart at the end, and there were many reasons why things fell apart at the end, but Mike Vrabel wasn't able to work the same magic that he did early in his tenure. The thing that was most impressive about Mike Vrabel early on was he squeezed a lot out of rosters mm-hmm. that probably shouldn't have been as good as they were. But
there was still, don't you think, Adam, there was still a big difference when they were winning with the quality of the roster as opposed to the end?
Sure.
Where those guys aged out, the key guys that mm-hmm. we've been talking about.
That's fair. Again, I just think that when we look at Vrabel as a whole, mm-hmm. his time here was a success. But let's not pretend that everything was just perfect with Vrabel here. And I think because the Titans have been so terrible since he left, a lot of people, many of whom do not watch the Titans on a weekly basis, think that he was the only reason why they mm-hmm. were successful. I mentioned the headline from the Boston Globe. Mike Vrabel should be grateful he got fired by the Titans, now the NFL's biggest train wreck. There was a line in that story, quote, a strong candidate to get the number one pick 2 years in a row. The Titans are so irrelevant that the Fox affiliate in Memphis chose the Cowboys game over the Titans last Sunday. It's like Mike Vrabel was the only thing holding this together. So I'm just... I've been absorbing all of this content over the past week because I'm interested in hearing what people think about this matchup because, quite frankly, if not for Mike Vrabel, I don't know how many people would be talking Patriots-Titans.
Again, I can understand, but this is being said, I think, of people that were not looking at this roster from up close because this roster and whoever was coaching it was doomed to fail eventually. And it started eroding very fast. And the bad part about it is they still had Derrick Henry. They still had some of these guys that were winning for them. But they just couldn't do it anymore. And the message didn't land the same way it did, you know, in years prior. So, again, he had his run, and it was a really, really good run. But at the end, it's like a lot of cases when coaches get fired. It just soured it. It gradually. And as a matter of fact, it wasn't gradually. It just plummeted, you know, and his team could never regroup. So he was going to be a part of the mess regardless.
615-737-1025. We will take your reaction coming up next on the return of Mike Vrabel, the conquering hero, Mike Vrabel. Returning with the 4-2 Patriots on Sunday against the 1-5 Titans, fresh off firing Brian Callahan. 615-737-1025. If you are headed to Nissan Stadium for that game on Sunday, you should stop by John Bon Jovi's before the game to watch the pregame show with 1025 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. The pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky.
I want to see anybody that shares a job with you, you know what I mean, get let go. That's not the, you know, that's a tough feeling, you know, with family and school and, you know, whether it's in college or pro, like we're in the media every single day. And there's a human element to this and that I don't want to forget. I just remember all those coaches that or people that reached out after I was let go. And, you know, I think that's important because nobody texts when you lose. They all text when you win. So it's a good reminder.
That was Mike Vrabel the other day saying he did reach out to Brian Callahan after the Titans fired Brian Callahan. Now they have something in common. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you talking Mike Vrabel's return. Here's a phrase I never thought I'd utter on this show. Campus Dog is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All right, Campus Dog, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hope you're doing well. Just wanted to add to the discussion and kind of ask a question and make a statement. But diehard fan, been following him, been season ticket holder since the beginning, all that. And, you know, I remember Vrabel being here and a lot of the disgust I had with him, to be honest with you, especially when the team turned bad. But even before that, I hated some of the calls he would make. And I'm talking about going for two, like in the playoff game with the Bengals right out the gate. And he did it. I'm pretty sure the first game he coached did one of those early in the game where he goes for two. I don't understand that concept, and maybe I'm getting older and I know analytics tell you, but there can't be analytics to tell you after you score a touchdown, you're up 6-0, that you need to go for two at the beginning of the game. I can't imagine that there are, that it's a gut thing. So I wanted to make that statement. And then plus with all the injuries that we had, this team did not play well his last 2 years at all. So I wanted to ask Derek something. You talked about, I mean, not you, but Blaine Bishop earlier talked about Eddie George and what a motivator he is and that he would love to see him as a head coach. I know Mike Vrabel's a great motivator and a leader too, but it takes more than that, right? I mean, would you agree that he made a lot of bad calls when he was here? He had a team that injury prone, and would you be open to an Eddie George thought? I can hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thank you. Listen, Mike had his blunders his first year, as every first-time head coach has. So he wasn't going to be immune to those things. He got better each and every year as far as how to manage, you know, the players on game day, making sure they had what they needed during the week. He was good at that. He wasn't good at taking a bad roster and making it better. He hadn't proven that he can do that. Why? Because when he came in, he had a roster already to go. That roster, that food was heated up, ready to be served. Only thing you had to do was probably add a little spices to it here and there. But for the most part, it was ready to eat, ready to go. So we saw him in a situation like that. We didn't see him in a situation that he found himself in as his career went winding out, and he just couldn't overcome that. Now, Eddie falls out of my what I want as a criteria for a quarterback. For a head coach, he's not in that. He falls out.
Yesterday, we did our head coach match Tinder, Hinge, dating app of your choice, and Derek said a non-starter for him is a college coach. He will not hire anybody from the college ranks.
So, and you don't have head coaching experience in the NFL. That's another. So, and listen, it's – I don't think – I would believe – I know Eddie, he did a great job at taking that program at TSU and making them relevant when he left. He made that a good program when he left. He seems to be doing the same thing with Bowling Green. He's making that a good program. Those things are on a smaller level. He will get, as he continues to do what he has been doing, it will get better as he move on. But I think it wouldn't be advantageous for his career, and it wouldn't be fair to him, hell, and possibly even his family, to take on this mess. I understand. Great leader. Eddie's a great leader. But just because you're a great leader doesn't mean you can take on every battle. Some battles you just got to be like, I'm not ready for that one. I'm not. We don't have anything. I can't win no matter what I do. Like Mick said in Rocky, you can't win. And what happened? He didn't win. He didn't beat him. He had to go back and regroup. But I think that would be unfair to Eddie to ask him. Now, interview him. That's great. Interview him. You know, because I think that helps him in the long run. But interview him. But for me and where this team is at, I need someone that has been through that at this level.
And Eddie George did get an interview last year with the Chicago Bears, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. So he's going, and that's only going to help him. And I see it's helping him already. Look at what he's doing at his next stop. He's improving that program. So he's going to get to a point where he's going to be the hot name on the block. He's going to be that coach that everybody's looking, not just in college, but in the NFL. But I think right now there's a process that he could potentially be overstepping. Like, he may be skipping all the processes that he has to go through to get that job that he's truly going to be successful at in this league, in the NFL.
And Willie, we all know that if the Titans were to do what the caller suggested and hire Eddie George to be the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans, it would give you all the warm and fuzzies, right? Eddie George, franchise icon.
I would root for him.
Franchise icon. I've never met Eddie George. Derek knows Eddie George incredibly well. Seems like an incredibly lovely man. Easy to root for, right? Mm-hmm. I just don't think this organization at this point is in a place to experiment with Eddie George as a head coach. They need a tested NFL head coach.
I would agree, and you guys hit on it. You would win the press conference 10 times over. Everybody would be rooting for Eddie George. Mm-hmm. It would be fun, but then the reality would set in, and you know, you can have countless examples of college coaches where you bring back the famous alum and he's the coach. Every now and then it works, but just as often it doesn't work, because after you, it doesn't go well. Everybody will turn on you. And I would hate to see that for Eddie George. And I would say this: if I'm Eddie George, I would be reticent to take that job right now. This is that's not an easy spot to jump in for your first head coaching job with the state of the roster right now. The roster is a long way away. That's why my number one thing was a builder. Mm-hmm. A builder. I'd like to have somebody that's been through the process of building a roster and had to get through the tough times.
Let's go to Dustin in Hopkinsville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. Dustin, thank you for calling and all of your texts. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Y'all want me to sing a little Toby Keith for you like I did the last one? No, I wanted to elaborate a little bit on Eddie George. And a lot of fans, like, it is just Eddie was just this huge person in Nashville when he was playing for, just like Derek was and D-Mace, all these guys. And no offense, but you're putting the cart before the horse, and Eddie's smarter than that. He has to crawl before he can walk. These schools he's at are giving him his what do you call it? Like for a toddler, they're teaching him how to walk, and he can't learn on the fly in the NFL. Things are moving too fast. They're so much different. I don't know anything about it because I haven't done it, but I know enough to know that. You'd be setting Eddie up for failure. He needs to go to a more prominent school and have success in the Big Ten, the SEC, something like that. But I would love to see Eddie as a running back coach or a coach's assistant at some point at the Titans, and let that marinate for a few years and see where it goes.
Thank you for the call, Dustin. Let's go to Mike on our phone line. Mike, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
How you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I got a question for the panel. We've got Mike Vrabel coming back into town, and I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. And we're all talking about it, that, you know, he was the fired coach, and now he's now facing an interim coach of a person that he knew. And then he also knew Brian Callahan, and they supposedly talk on the phone. What if by some reason, and it would have to be God-given, I think, the Titans actually win Sunday, because they have no pressure on them. This is a zero pressure for the Titans. I say forget the playbook, let everything go, just get out there and play football and have fun and beat Mike Vrabel. wouldn't that just embarrass the hell out of him? Because I think he's coming into town with a chip on his shoulder. I like Mike Vrabel. I really did. They should never have let him go. But I think he wants to come down here and beat us 48-10 and don't let it happen. And I think if the coaching staff, including the interim, says, you know what, guys, the playbook's out, let's just go out there and play football and have fun.
Thank you for the call, Mike. I think that sounds – it's easier said than done, right? That sounds great, guys. Just tear up the game plan. Just go out there and play football. Like, that sounds great. Sounds like it's straight out of Little Giants or something like that. You know, insert kids football movie here. That sounds great. Not going to happen. But I do want to touch on one point, Derek, before we go to break. This is a huge opportunity for Mike McCoy. A huge opportunity. He hasn't been a head coach in the NFL in a decade. He even said earlier this week he never expected to get such an opportunity again. And if he can rally the troops, so to speak, and put together a game plan to knock off Mike Vrabel and the Patriots, that is a huge feather in his cap, and that can galvanize a locker room. So I appreciate Mike's enthusiasm. Hey, just go out there. Don't worry about the plays. Just play football. That sounds great. That's not how it works in real life. But I do think Mike McCoy, this is a huge opportunity for him.
Hey, just go out there and free ball it. That's what they're doing. That's what their caller wants them to do. And that sounds great. But here is this is the way I look at it, because I know everyone is expecting Mike Vrabel to come in here and put a shellacking on the Titans. And what coach don't want to put 40 on another coach? I mean, that's just across the league. I don't care if you like me or not. I want to beat you just as bad as I want to beat the next team. And if it's 40 to nothing, then so be it. So, you know, I don't look at it too much when it comes to that. But this is a situation where Vrabel is at a disadvantage, so to speak. And people got to understand and listen to me on this one. He's at a disadvantage because he has no idea what Mike McCoy is going to do. He has no idea. This is not Brian Callahan. It's not a Brian Callahan-ran team. Still got some of the coaches that Brian Callahan hired, but this is no longer his operation. This is my ship now. Now I get to change course. However steady it is, I'm changing course, and you're not prepared for that. You don't know if I'm going to stop. You don't know if I'm going to keep charging. You don't know if I'm going to move right or left. There's no tendencies that you have on me. If you do, you got to go back years and years to get them. So if it's just not a foregone conclusion, now do I think, well, I believe based upon what I've seen, will the Titans win? Probably not. But I wouldn't put it at 100% Vrabel's going to come in here and put a 40 burger on the Titans. I would be more surprised if he put a 40 burger than if the Titans win.
Okay. Well, we will get back into the Patriots-Titans matchup and your thoughts on Mike Vrabel. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, we discuss the triple header of Greg Sankey's dreams tomorrow in the SEC, including a huge game not too far from here. 615-737-1025. This Sunday, why are you popping and locking right now, Derek Mason?
I just got to get the joints, you know, loose.
That has nothing to do with
waterways.
Okay, this is distracting. This Sunday, the NFL game of the week is the Commanders versus the Cowboys. Willie can't see what's going on.
Man.
It's the Commanders versus the Cowboys at 325 on 94.9 The Fan. The NFL game of the week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro in 12 South.